Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. Hello, Mama.
Hello, my darling Data.
We're your in-house, your life coach. I'm a life coach, your psychotherapist. I'm an instructional designer.
Yeah.
And here we are. This is our hour of Zen. You know why?
Yeah.
Because this hour, we are happier. We are at our happiest.
Yes.
Just happiest. Chit-chatting. My stress is down. Mm-hmm. I love just being here with you mm-hmm. in this hour. Mm-hmm. And I can feel the people out there listening going, yeah, we're part of the group.
Yeah.
We're here. We're talking to you guys, too.
Yeah.
And someone one time wrote me, goes, I do have this all scripted out. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, we surely do.
Yeah.
You can't script this crap out. I'm telling you right now.
I remember one person somehow was sending an email to her agent.
Yes.
And because she was getting a show on Sirius.
Yes.
And she accidentally sent it to us.
Yes.
But what she was trying to do was sending her agent a link to us saying, you know, I want to be like this. How do you think? Do you think it's all scripted? Because
right.
I like the way it sounds.
Right.
And we were like,
if you only knew. I one time like, said 30 seconds before the show starts, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about today.
I know. We never do.
Boom. I've got ideas.
Yeah.
I've got ideas. Mm-hmm. And then.
But this is really, it's so funny because this is how we roll. And I said that to a younger child the other day.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking and I said, you know, well, this is how you roll. And she goes, excuse me, ma'am. I said, well, no, this is how you roll. And she goes, oh, I get it.
It's so profound.
Yeah.
How you roll. Yeah. You know, like a rolling stone gathers no moss. What?
No. So this is how we roll.
Change my diaper. Get that phrase.
People don't understand. Change
my
diaper.
Lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Tuck of the hand. Well, it's funny because this week has been I've had some really embarrassing moments this week. You know,
you've had some shamefully embarrassing moments.
And it's funny because the last year, people, you know, I've been focusing on, you know, I've been really hearing people talk about the difference between shame and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Guilt is something that you feel that you've done something bad and you feel guilty for it, where shame is, I wish we didn't do that.
What?
You know, we have been watching separately The House of Haunted Hill.
The Haunting of Hill House.
That's it. Netflix.
The Haunting of
and
Hill
so
House.
I'm looking at you, and then you're looking to your left, and you're looking to your right, like you're seeing something.
Exactly.
Behind me. It drives me up the wall. Is there like a person hanging behind me? Stop it.
Is there an entity behind you?
Knock it off. It drives me crazy. I'm like, stop looking behind me. It is so bizarre, isn't it, when you're talking to somebody?
Yeah.
And they're not looking at you.
Right.
They're just looking.
Just a little bit off.
And they're hoping you're not realizing,
yeah.
right? And you're like, what's behind me?
Yeah.
Tell me now, what's behind
me? What is behind
me? No worries.
No worries.
Just come over here for a second.
Yeah.
What are we going here?
Well, you did that to me this week, little bitch.
I just said to you.
You said, wait, mama, hold on.
Here.
There's a little piece of fuzz on you. Don't worry about it. And then you went, and like did like karate chop. And then I realized it was a spider.
Yeah.
But you were trying not to scare me.
Right, because I know your fear of spiders are pretty intense.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to deal with the fallout of that. I thought if I could just get rid of it before I even realized
it. You just think it's like a piece of fuzz on me.
Yeah, just some fuzz. Not the cop kind either.
And then you do like a judo chop on me.
Yes, exactly.
So let's go back to shameful.
Shameful and guilt.
And disgusting.
And the problem is there are things that is totally a misunderstanding. And because you and I have this podcast that we do on BBS Radio and on iTunes, Life the Girlfriends, Christy Marie and Julie, the whole thing.
Yes, unfortunately.
There are times that something happens that's so embarrassing, but I start laughing because I'm like, this would be great for the radio show.
Yeah, this is good.
And so.
And then people go, why is she laughing inappropriately?
Yeah, why are you laughing inappropriately? Oh, because this is just really funny.
Why are you laughing
at me?
Like,
I was with you this week.
I had two episodes.
And the one was our old guy was talking to us, you know, and we were at the gym. And I love this old guy. And I say
Bud.
Yeah. I say old guy because
he's an old guy.
Yeah, but he probably goes, I'm 85 years old. I'm not old.
I'm not an old guy.
I
go to the gym every day.
I got 5-10 good years left in me.
That's right.
I don't know. Maybe 20. Who knows?
I know.
And so anyway, he's talking to us. And then he looks you right in the eye.
I know.
And he goes, they have senior discounts at this one restaurant.
No, he goes, he's asking us what restaurants we go to.
And we're like, we said,
I don't know. And he goes, we go to Sunrise. And then he said, they have a good scene. And you said, no, I go to Dos Amigos. I've been there.
Yes.
And so my mind is going to Mexican food.
Right.
And at that moment, he said, they have a good senior
menu. Is that why you laughed?
And I laughed because I thought he was making a joke because you
senor,
went,
yeah,
Dos Amigos. He went, Dos Amigos, oh, good senior menu. And then I realized he meant senior menu.
Yeah.
And I laughed, and he looked at me like, why are you shaming me?
Yeah.
And then he realized. He had that broken feeling in his face.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, we just thought it was funny that you said, first of all,
senior.
He didn't
give us a chance.
And then also that you might think my mom's a senior citizen. And you're like, screw you.
Yeah. Screw you, old man.
Yeah. I might be, but I'm not going to admit to it.
But I was like, I know anyone, senior menu. And I'm like,
that was what you thought was funny.
Yeah.
I thought, well, it was really, and so what happened was, that was on the same exact day.
Yeah, but I think that you, I'm gonna ask you to not tell your second shameful story.
I'm not going to tell the third one.
At that moment, because I think it's better suited for, you know, our Halloween
segment. Okay, good, got it.
Yeah.
So this is a three-part shameful story at the gym.
Okay.
So the second part, the third part is a cliffhanger. We won't tell it to you until later. The third part, we go downstairs to the basement, work out in the weights, and do our ellipticals. And
my God.
And we go upstairs.
Yes.
And we usually have a place to ourselves. So we do some kind of embarrassing stuff. There's lots of interesting things in this one.
And it's called the Prairie Room, and there's just like interesting things there. And nobody's ever there.
There's pulleys.
Yeah. And there's lots of pulleys. And there's like lots of these kettlebells. And
there's this bag that's attached to this cone that mom calls her rapist, and she gets back at him.
My rapist.
Yes. And then she goes, so we're there. And as soon as we get in there, we're heading towards our thing to go beat up
the
rapist.
Yeah.
And we also kick him in the balls. We were like this.
We do really like
And so we come in, and as soon as somebody that we know, not personally, because nobody talks to each other in the gym. Except
no, because everybody's got earbuds on. Yeah.
Yeah. And
But we know them. Yeah.
And he comes in and he's like, hello, ladies. How you doing? I'm like, oh, man. Doing fine.
And then he goes like this. Well, I'd be disturbing you if I go here.
And we're like, no, we'll just stay in this
we're going to stay in this little corner here.
Which we never go
in that corner. There's nothing but pulleys in there.
And kettlebells. So I end up going and getting a kettlebell bell, and Mom and I are just passing it back and forth.
This is what we really do.
And so, so we start laughing because we're doing something we don't usually do.
Yeah,
and
we're laughing. Hysterical. We start laughing hysterically.
But at the same
at ourselves.
Time, that he, I don't know if you noticed this.
No.
But at the same time we're laughing.
Yeah.
Did you see what he was doing?
He was doing those weird.
He was spinning.
He was spinning?
He was standing up and then spinning around in a circle with his arms out.
I thought he was doing that weird bridge thing. No,
that's not laughable.
No.
He literally was standing up and spinning around in a circle, for equilibrium.
Oh,
just running around in a circle really fast.
Oh, no.
With his hands out.
Yeah.
And then we both started laughing, but we weren't laughing at him. We were laughing at us because we were just like, what do we do with this kettlebell?
What do we do now?
Here, I'm passing it to you. Yeah. And you're passing it back to me.
And then he thought we were laughing at him.
Well, then I go, let's just go because now I feel like he thinks we're laughing at him.
Yeah.
But we're not.
Yeah.
And this is why I don't think anybody's laughing at me. Or if they are making fun of me, I just can't care because I don't know what happened in your day.
Yeah.
Because so many times I've been caught in mid being happy about somebody else.
I felt so bad that day.
You did.
I felt just so bad because I was totally misrepresented.
But what if they never thought anything bad was going down? What if those two guys had such healthy self-esteem?
Yeah.
They're like, I don't know. I don't even care. It's not even in my radar.
Yeah.
It's not even in my radar.
I guess they might have healthy self-esteem.
Yeah, just because we
just because
think,
we don't.
Just because we don't doesn't mean that they do. They could be like, oh, those two girls are so fun to be around.
Yeah.
They're so happy all the time. Mother and daughter team out working out together. Hello, we're working out together. We love each other. And so the third thing I will share with you later is the worst one.
Well, is it? Should we share it now?
Sure, I'll share it down, and then we'll move on.
Okay, but it is kind of a full story, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, so then anyway, I end up going to the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom.
But me and Jill went together.
Oh, God. Do you have to tell us that? I was not going to tell him that.
You weren't going to tell him that?
All right.
Well, it's a fairly big bathroom. So we were in there together because it's right next to the prayer room and nobody goes there.
Yeah, literally nobody goes there.
Nobody, guys.
And I remember thinking at this point, anyway, I'm in the prayer room getting ready to go, you know, leave. I've already started laughing. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I got to go to the bathroom anyway. Let's go to the bathroom.
And Julie goes, I am got to go to the bathroom. I'm going to crap my pants.
Yeah. So it's all happening at one time. I'm laughing.
At that moment.
Yeah. At that moment. At that moment.
Yeah.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. You know what that is. Sometimes you just have a sensation at that moment. I must go now.
Right.
And with the knowledge there is a bathroom which gives you privacy.
Yeah. Real, a big bathroom, real privacy.
Now, the problem is I did not expect you to go in there with me. I want a little privacy. But you're like, I'll go in there with you. I'm like, oh, geez.
What am I supposed to do, stand out there with a spinning guy?
Yeah, just hang out by yourself.
Yeah.
So anyway, no. So we went to the bathroom together. And you went, I think I went to the bathroom first. And I did number dose. Don't be gross out. And then I'm like, oh, I better double flush this. And then I go, thank God no one comes into this bathroom. No one will see me have left right after I had done this.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that wasn't the whole story. I mean, the whole story is that I'm like, Julie, how many times are you going to flush? Because she's like flushing.
As many times as because I'm like, goes away.
That's I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
See, she didn't. She wasn't telling me that there was this, you know, stain.
Yeah.
And that she has this thing that, or actually, Greg has this thing that taught her.
Yeah.
Her brother taught her how to do something like to get the stain in between, like
flushes.
Like it's there's a moment in time
you
in
have that flush in your hand, and you can wash
before
it off.
It gets yes. And that's what she was waiting for. I did not know that. She tried flush once,
and
flush
you
twice.
Were
I
go, like, let's just get going.
I go, please listen. You went, oh, God,
let's
okay.
Just go.
And then she goes, then she said, at least there's nobody ever waiting here.
Yeah, no one is ever waiting here.
And so we go out, and of course, there's a woman waiting there.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, for heaven's sake.
And that's only part of the story.
Like, just a woman that I know works there.
The woman that we know that works. We don't really know her.
No, she's around.
Yeah.
And she sometimes works out,
yeah.
But I usually see her coming out of her car.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking she must work here in some capacity, but mm-hmm. I never really see her. But sometimes I see her walking.
Yeah.
Around the track. No biggie.
Yeah. So that day, she was waiting to get into, we both come out.
Yes. Which is kind of embarrassing to begin with that we both come out.
Yeah. It's true. It is.
Because mom didn't want to be alone with the guy in the prayer room.
The spinner.
With the spinner. Just with one dumbbell. Or like, what are we going to do with this thing?
And so at that moment, we're just like, oh, my God, let's just get out of here. Because I have no idea. Because I kind of lost my sniffer like years ago, you know, during the Zicam phase.
Yeah.
So I can't tell if Julie's like, if it's smelling or what the hell's going on with the stain.
Right.
But all I realizes now is she's really embarrassed.
There's
a woman waiting that
right,
we know.
Right, because it would have been fine if
we didn't know her.
Or
it been
also,
fine.
Not just that, if I could have gotten out without anybody knowing it was me that was the culprit.
Right. Oh, they could have thought it was me.
I'm okay with that.
Yes.
So at this point, we don't really know. But anyway.
Yeah.
So then anyway, we leave. She goes to the bathroom. We don't see each other the rest of the day.
No.
At least that's what we hope.
We hope we don't see her for the rest of the week.
Now, at this point.
But we do see her.
Well, at this point, mom has this brilliant idea. I said, oh, mom, by the way, guess what? Today is the costume party for doggies at Wiggly Park. Wiggly Field. Isn't that cute? Because we, you know, the Wiggly Field.
Not Wrigley Field, but Wiggly Field.
And you're like, oh, my gosh.
I go, what time is it, Julie?
I go,
and she goes, it's 5:30. I go, what time is it now? 5:15.
Yeah.
Oh, we got time.
Oh, we've got time to pull
it's
a top.
On. It's on.
And I go, he's not going to wear it.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, he'll wear it. You were sure he was going to wear this costume.
Yes.
So you sent me into Dollar General.
Oh, yeah. I gave you $10.
And you're like, do something with it.
Girlfriend.
And so I came out with $9 to $10 worth of Halloween decorations, ghouls. And our goal was to tape them all over our dog's body.
And you also came out with this little headband that had a saw.
It was a saw. So it looked like when you're wearing this headband, and the saw was cutting through you like he died.
Yeah. And then we had a little red bow tie.
Right. Because you had now had a theme. You
I had a story. I had a story in the head.
And that's where the biggest inspiration comes from.
Right.
Once you have the backstory.
Yes.
You can pull off anything.
And I had cardboard and I had a magic marker. And so the story was I started writing it because I made a sign for you.
Yeah.
So that people could tell that you were part of the story.
Yeah.
And it was Elliot Stabler was at the altar on his wedding day when an ex of his fiance,
Olivia Benson,
bride to be Olivia, came up to him and murdered him.
And now he's
with a saw
in his head.
And now he immediately became Ghost Dog.
So now he's a ghost dog.
Ghost Dog, searching the ethers for his bride, Olivia.
Yeah, I don't know how this thing got so big. First of all, I don't know how this thing got taken away, but you just go, we're doing this. I'm like, oh my God. And I have no one to blame but myself.
But can I give you a little backstory?
We could go see and watch, but you're like, I know. I'm going in.
But here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
If you can remember, we were the exact same year before.
Yeah.
We were at Wigley Field with Elliot when they started setting up.
Uh-huh.
And we go, what are you guys setting up for? You know? And they said, oh, it's the dog costume, Halloween dog costume.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't participate.
No.
But we kind of stayed around. And there was like literally five dogs.
Right. Not very
that
many.
Showed up. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
This year, I had that in my memory.
Yeah.
I'm like, one in five odds.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah,
and I had just come off this idea. Okay, so, and my feelings were a little ruffled.
Right.
Because I had just come off from Greg had told us that day that their school where the kids go to, they had this great big trunk or treat.
Right.
And I think it might have been all the parishes participated and they had to put in $29 entry fee, but the prizes were like, you know, Home Depot gift certificates, Applebee's, all in one thing. Well, Greg actually did this kind of like Harry Potter tower with a dragon, a fireplace. I mean, literally, he went out and bought a generator.
Right.
So that they could have real flames or something coming out of the dragon's mouth or whatever. And we saw a picture of it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was embarrassingly good.
Yeah.
You know, Greg does not do anything, you know, just fly by night. Now, all the other parents, you know, did their trunk. Some kids, you know, some parents, you know, put toilet paper on it, like the mummy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I have no idea what some other ones did, but there were, you know, a nice number. But, you know, Greg said
just basic Halloween.
The basic stuff that a haggard parent would put together.
Let's buy these decals that can come on and off the car real quick.
Yeah, I would have done like balloons or, you know, just something, you know. But, you know, Greg's was like so far beyond, that when they announced the winner, you know, everybody went, and oh, the winner of the trunk or treat car decorating contest is Greg Peters.
Yeah, just come on.
Harry Potter. Just, you know, just come on.
Yeah.
And like, it was like, you know, it was like so far obvious, you know?
Yes.
And so that kind of
inspired you.
It kind of made me like, come on, Chrissy.
Were you jealous?
We can do this. Maybe a little jealous. I haven't won anything in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well they don't have competitions. I mean, yes.
For best mom.
You have gotten those plaques recently. Best grandma, best mom. You know, they just kind of feel like, well, you're supposed to think I'm the best mom or the best grandma.
Right.
You know.
But all of a sudden, you know, here's Greg, you know, with his generator and the big house and the
And now
that he
had a cauldron full of dry ice that was coming through.
And also, the thing that really was amazing is that the kids got full-size candy bars.
Yes.
They said nobody was going to anybody else's trunk.
But ours.
Yeah. So
they went to Costco and they got the full size.
They went all
they
out.
Went all
it was
out.
On like Donkey Kong.
Yep.
And so I was like still in that kind of headspace.
Right. With only 45 minutes to prepare.
I had 45 minutes and I think I might have given you 10, but you had about $5 in your pocket extra.
I spent all 15.
Yeah, you spent it all.
And I might have gone into the credit card, into my debit card, just a little bit. You know.
But we had the story. We had the backstory.
Yes.
Elliot. And so we get there and there's like a handful of dogs there.
Yeah, not too many initially.
Not too many. And we get there about 5:15. But in between 5:15 and 5:30,
yes,
about 50 other dogs
came. Oh, my
came.
Gosh. And what I was really grateful for is at least everybody had their dogs on leash and they were going to keep them on leashes, which meant that everybody was going to be fine. You know, I just couldn't imagine all these dogs in their costumes messing with each
and
other.
And not only that, but the owners dressed up.
Not just kids.
No.
But adults.
The parents.
Because
they came,
I did not know this.
Theme.
There was three categories. I did not know
this.
We
did not know this.
One was
handmade,
which I called ourselves.
Which we were handmade.
I mean, when I said duct tape, by the way, these things to my dog, I don't really mean I put the duct tape on the dog. I took the duct tape and made a rope. So that the rope would be around, like it would just fit around him, you
right.
know. So I wasn't taping
directly. And we bought like 9 of these little ghosts.
Yes.
And he was just supposed to be running around, and he had the saw through his head and the bow tie.
Yes, he looked very durable for like 20 seconds.
Yes, he looked great.
Yeah, for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
But then, and then he just started biting me.
what, bitch, are you doing to me?
So then, anyway, there's three categories, handmade, which we were in. And in the handmade, and then there's 2 store bought, and then 3 was group,
and
that made sense then because I'm like, why are there so many adults dressed up?
There were adults dressed. Toy Story was represented.
So it was Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. Here was the adult woman, and I'm talking adult.
I mean, adult woman.
And then the doggy was.
Yeah. Cowboy, whatever. Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah. And then SpongeBob SquarePants was there.
And then one where the dog was a fireman.
Yeah.
The son was a fireman also.
Yeah.
And the mom was a burning
building.
Oh,
my God. And she was highly annoying.
Because she talked like an appropriate mother.
She was a helicopter mom. I just want to say that I don't even want to go there. No, because it was just so annoying.
Well, okay, here's the thing. My mom heard her said this, which I don't think is horrible. But my mom's like, can you believe
what she said? Do you believe what she said, Julie?
What did she say, Mom? She said, see, honey, when you work hard, you get things. And we won because we worked hard. Isn't it nice that when you put in the effort, things come back in turn? And Mom's like, what the hell? Does everything have to be a teachable moment?
At that moment, I knew that, you know, because they had won. But I had a feeling prior to that we were not going to win our category.
Yes.
And the reason I had a feeling, because as Julian and Elliot are standing before the judge, who comes out of the van, you know, we're there and we're one of 10 participants in our category.
Right.
And he's kind of halfway ghost dog at this point.
Right.
They go, Elliot, the ghost dog. And the judge comes out of her van to go meet Elliot.
Yeah.
And we realize that it is the lady that had to go into the bathroom right after Julie.
Oh, my God. She is the director of all activities at the Park District. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Damn it.
And so.
And then we knew we weren't going to win.
No, because not only did I mean.
Payback's a bitch.
And then I thought I should play the lottery.
Yes.
And then, of course, I didn't play the lottery.
We knew that all happened in one day. And we knew that we would play the lottery because it was huge that night.
Yeah.
Because how many of these things, like poor Bud, me thinking he said senior menu, and I thought it was hysterical, and he looked at me like, What did I say? And then the spinning guy, and I'm laughing hysterically. And then the us deciding to go and
go to the bathroom and
enter Elliot in the dog costume. And of course the judge gets out and it's her.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, we have got to play the lottery
because
we're in some kind of weird frequency.
And none of it was good stuff. I don't know why we thought winning that all of a sudden.
But then the Norm calls and he goes, hey, I'm on my way home. And we said, hey, we are too. And he goes, well, I'm going to stop and get a lottery ticket. You go, get one for us. And at that moment,
our luck changed
because we realized that you did not play the lottery. You yourself.
I gave it away.
Yeah.
I gave my luck away and it disappeared to that person in South or North Carolina. I don't know who. So very interesting.
So sad.
But, my bigger dilemma is then I have this issue that I have to address now. I've just got to address it. For whatever reason, we've been going to this veterinarian clinic for years. Not just with Elliot, but with Molly and Charlie before they died. For years, we've been going to this veterinarian clinic. And I've been the one taking the dogs. But I always say, these are my mom and dad's dogs, Norman, Christine, yada, yada, yada.
And also they go by email.
Right. And so at some point, they just assume I'm you.
Well, they also assume that not only that I'm you, but they call you Christy because of my email address is Christy.
Right.
Not Christine. But not Christine Marie.
And so, but Christy, which is nobody calls you Christy.
No.
And so.
Except my dentist.
Yeah. If anybody who has your email address calls you Christy. And so I've never corrected them before. I've tried a couple times way back in the beginning and then just said, screw it. It's not important.
Yeah, it's not a biggie.
Except lately. Because I'm going to the gym, we drop him off and we pay a couple bucks to have him watch him for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And so they always call me Christy now. And it's just, except the day after, because also who were judges from the veterinarian clinic.
The vet, yeah.
So they call me Christy. And at some moment, I let the cat out of the bed that I'm actually Julie, not Christy. And they're like looking at me weird. And I'm just like, oh gosh. And then I dropped the dog off yesterday.
Yeah.
And then Normano goes in. And
because, you had switched trucks.
Switched trucks. So Norm's. And somehow they go, so who's your daughter and who's your wife? Because I had mentioned my mom came with me to the dog, thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, my wife is Christy and my daughter is Julie. And so I'm thinking now they have no idea.
They're scratching their heads.
So are you married to that woman? Yeah. And it wouldn't be the first time someone thought I was married to my dad. Hopefully the last. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have a very big complex now. So then we decided
that we were thinking about a reality show, Married to My Daughter.
Yes.
And then we thought, could this be your first? This would be a good reality show. And then Julie reminded me that Woody Allen has already cornered the market on that.
He already married. Because Dad goes, it can't be legal to marry your daughter.
Can it, Julie?
Can it be
scratching
legal?
Scratching his head.
Norm. No, Dad, it's not legal, all right? Chill out. He goes, oh, that's good. And he goes, well, but, and I go, well, but if you were my stepdaughter, yes, if I was your stepdaughter, like Woody Allen. He goes, oh, that's right, Woody Allen already did it. I never know what Dad's doing to me.
I know.
Is he just messing with me? Yeah. Or is he just really curious about life in general? Are there guys out there marrying their daughters?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
And so, Dad is like...
It's a new world. I don't know.
He does.
Men are girls, girls are boys. Who knows?
Well, he reminded me this morning that of that time that... We had lots of rain,
right?
And he was going down by the Rock River, And there was this eco security guy, kind of looking at the river and stuff like that. And he and Norm were kind of talking, and there floats by this big piece of styrofoam, pink styrofoam. And Norm literally goes, walks over the rocks to pick it up. And the guy's like, oh, sir, you know, like salutes him. Like,
good job.
Thank you. Good job, sir. And Norm looks at him, goes, holds this big piece of styrofoam and goes, praise God. And the guy's like taken aback. He goes, I've been looking for a piece like this.
And, praise God!
Yeah. And at one point, the guy was like, you know, right on, dude. And then all of a sudden, you know, solidarity. And then all of a sudden, mental patient.
Yeah.
Praise God.
No, this guy wasn't cleaning up the river. He was needing a piece of styrofoam.
That's right.
And God had given it to him.
Praise God. I got the styrofoam.
Couldn't God have given it to him in an easier way?
Yeah. And so then, he reminded me of that. And then because he's really into his charitable mode.
Yeah.
And he said that he has this, you know, I said to him, I'm really grateful that you no longer stop and pick up stuff off the road like you used to. I mean, he would literally stop his big semi,
yes,
and pick things up off the road.
I remember that. As a child, I remember if we ever saw a bungee cord,
there was never a bungee cord he didn't love.
I don't understand why we did that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so dangerous to pull your 18-wheeler back then off the side of the road.
Off the side of the road. Or even like a strap.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes he would do it for lumber.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I will never find another 2x4 like this.
No.
How lucky am I? Praise God.
Praise God.
But he said lately, though, it's been really hard for him because he's seen a lot of furniture in front of people's houses or like, you know, and that he wants to stop, pick it up, and then drop it off at homeless shelters.
Oh, God.
Or just to give it to homeless people so they might have a place to. He's very much like almost obsessed with that. Mm. And I just said, I go, Norm, you realize, though, that a lot of that furniture that you see in front of people's houses is like been cat pissed on. And he goes, but homeless people, they need something. They just, all they have is just the hard concrete.
Right.
Wouldn't that be awesome if I could be the one that I would take, you know, these things, if, you know, off the, you know, and of course, that's how we got Elliot's dog crate. He picked that one up.
Yeah, which has been very handy.
It's been handy.
I just don't understand this philosophy, though, because at some point, I believe there's furniture not even good enough. I mean, a homeless person would go, really, I could do without. I'd rather sleep on the crap, the duck crap's concrete.
Yeah.
Which we have a lot of.
Yeah.
And if you've seen that guy, what's that guy's name, Mike Ross? Who goes, I want to build a net from Canada.
Oh, what is his name? Mike? Ron White. Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't want to build
forget
a wall.
Forget the wall.
I want a net.
I want a net to prevent those Canadian geese from flying in America.
I'm tired of them. When you walk near a river or a lake with your dog and you realize you're going, I'm going to pick him up because there is just nothing but duck crap everywhere.
Yeah.
You realize we may have another issue with the Canadian geese. I agree with that. What were we talking about?
Daddy?
Yeah. And the furniture.
Yeah.
But you're right, though, because there are sometimes you're going, I don't even think, I mean, they can have bed bugs.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather not sleep in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody's, you know, that's crazy.
It is. And I understand. And then I think to myself, you know, we can give him some of our furniture, but the best thing to do, because we have a new homeless shelter opening up soon.
Yeah.
Which I don't get. It's been trying to open up for,
I don't know, maybe they're trying to open up with cash or something. I don't know.
We should talk to them because if they need furniture, Dad would have no problem getting them.
I can get furniture for you.
I've got an endless amount of furniture I can give you.
I drive 2,000 miles a week. I run across furniture all the time.
Mattresses, so forth. I can help you with that. But seriously.
He would love nothing more than to do that, honestly.
We should talk to them because if they do need stuff to open up, we have stuff for the thumb of them.
Yes.
We can probably do one or two rooms.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I don't have to deal with it. We should look into them.
I know.
Okay, so moving on. So that was my whole week of shame.
Yes.
And laughter.
Shame, laughter, Halloween.
Yes. And then yesterday we were talking and I was telling you a few things and we were just talking about We had done some channeling. If you don't know, my mom channels in her spare time.
I tell jokes and then I channel.
Mom's a psychotherapist, a coach, and she does a podcast. And oh, by the way, in her spare time, she channels. And I said, Mom, who are you channeling
but
right now?
But wasn't I, didn't I do a wonderful job for
you
Francine?
Did. You did do a wonderful job for Francine. Yes. And you did a wonderful job for me.
Yes.
And but one of the things you had channeled was our year ends right around Thanksgiving and yes. our new year starts then.
Yes.
Which I love this idea, not holding back
right.
until the new year start, right. you know. So I had been working with that energy, and I think I asked you, who are you channeling? Well, of course, the Holy Spirit. And I knew, or he knew. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, awesome. but what was I going to talk about?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Man. Oh, but during this time we were talking, and you had just gotten done channeling, and I brought up something, and then you got out of your channeling mode.
Yes.
And what I brought up was, how can I sell the golf carts? Is there any insight? And then you went out of your zone. You're like, oh, I lost the connection. I go, I'm now more in my ego.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad about having bought 3 golf carts this year. What the hell was I thinking? Why did I buy 3 golf carts?
I have 4 golf carts right now.
I don't know what happened to you, but yeah. really in a week's time.
Yeah.
You had bought 3 golf carts.
I know. It was my golf cart phase.
And now you have a little bit of guilt about that. And you
bit.
Have given me the task to release these golf carts. And I'm like, oh, geez. It's a lot harder selling a golf cart than it is buying a golf cart. Let me tell you.
You know what? It's a lot harder
selling
anything than buying it.
You're darn right.
Yeah.
They talk about this relationship. No, you have to work twice as hard.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 times as hard.
I am never going to be a consumer again.
Oh, you're such a liar.
I am not.
You have given me your list for your birthday and Christmas presents. You have said, please, here's what I'd like. Then I don't have to worry about buying it myself.
I know you went, I showed this one thing in the kettle. You went, a pink wig, Mom? Really?
You're like, this would be so much fun. You're like, this is so much fun. It's $25.
Yeah.
$25. And it'll be so much fun, Julie. It'll be so much fun. I'm like, all right. I'm not going to deny you a pink wig for $25. I'm not going to deny you that, you know, but oh well. So you had that major guilt come over you. Like,
I did. Well,
what happened? How did I buy?
I did.
And then when you realized how much you spent on the 4 golf carts,
I
you're
know.
Like,
I went, oh,
oh my God.
Oh
what
my
happened?
God.
I what know. Happened with that?
I know. I'm just realizing, I don't know if you're realizing this, but it's trick or treat time.
I know a day.
So, but if we don't put our lights on, hopefully they won't come.
We won't put our lights on and they won't come.
That's good.
Because we won't have anything for them.
That's good.
I go, no, there is. And then most of the reason why I'm like a day 80 with no sugar, I can't have anything in the house.
No.
I can't. I'm still, you told me that, well, I did bake a cake for Father.
Yes.
And had a couple bites, but I do not count that as being off my program.
No, I don't either.
I have a very small window, and that's a couple of bites. That's my window. Just a couple of bites. And a day, I was getting it all packed away, and I'm taking it out of the pan, and, and you're like, what are you doing with that cake? I'm putting it in Tupperware for Narmano, take to work it every day and all that stuff. You're like, oh, okay.
Last year, you did that.
Yeah.
And you froze it, and you put it in aluminum foil, and you had like about 24 pieces. And every day he went in his little freezer on his way home to work in the morning and took out a
last year we did bundt cakes.
Yes.
And that's a little bit easier because the icing's hard.
Yeah.
So we did bundt cakes and I made them real small, you know, slices. Yeah. And this year will be a little bit different. So I got these 2 big Tupperware containers. Mm-hmm. And then every day I will take a piece of cake out of the big Tupperware and put it in a smaller Tupperware. And you can take that to work with them. And he will be happy. But I did that because I couldn't be tempted anymore.
Yeah.
I need to get this pan clean.
Yeah.
I need to get the icing out of my face.
Right.
Because I just can't be tempted.
No.
And then you were relaying a story to me yesterday or the day before where you heard Jamie Lee Curtis talk about her giving up alcohol.
Right, because she's not making the rounds because it's 40 years for Halloween.
Yes.
Michael Myers. And Dad and I talked about that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you were so young, but the idea that, you know, when we grew up, you know, there were scary movies. But when the bad guy got killed, Yeah. He got killed.
Yeah.
Halloween was the first movie that we ever saw where the bad guy got killed and then
didn't die.
And then got up. And
got up and kept going.
And that was like, that's like the biggest, scariest thing ever.
Exactly. Very scary.
Yeah. But anyway, she was being interviewed.
Yeah. And she mentions that giving up alcohol has been the hardest thing in her whole life.
Yeah.
Harder than, it's been 20-some years. She's 20-some been sober.
Years, yeah.
And I don't know if she was a, I don't know if she's addicted to it or not, or an alcoholic. I mean, there's so many different levels.
She's a celebrity.
Yeah,
you know,
but
they
she
probably,
just says she misses it.
Yeah.
She said it's harder than being married for as long as she's been married.
Having children, being in a business.
Yeah. Easy compared to giving up alcohol.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bitch, I know, man.
Yeah.
I mean, every day I'm walking into Walmart and they have great chocolate chip cookies. They have great chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ones that are 12-pack, but the ones that are in 3-packs.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have them in 2-packs and they're dipped in chocolate.
Mm.
And I'm like,
of course they have to up their ante.
You've got to be effing kidding me. Right. Really? You're doing this to me? Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, not going to buy it. Not going to even have it in my house. There's no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss it. I miss the ideas of baking. And I wanted to bake Dad a cake.
Oh, I know. You and I were watching Halloween baking, or was it Christmas
some
baking?
Some kind of baking cooking
some
contest.
Some kind of baking show. Yeah. And I felt sad for you because even as a child, Julie, you were like third or fourth grade, you were baking homemade cheesecakes.
Yes.
And they were
The kind you bake,
homemade.
Yes.
And they were beautiful.
Yeah.
They were
store-bought crust.
No, they were bakery ready.
Quality,
they were beautiful. You were a beautiful baker.
Yes.
And I miss that about you, and I know you miss it.
I do. And yet I don't. And when you've lost weight and you realize that that's your crutch, like Tim Gunn says,
one bite is not enough
and two is too many.
Yeah.
You know exactly what that
means. Yeah.
Because two is too many for calories because it's just a lot of calories.
Mm-hmm.
But one bite is never enough.
No.
It's never enough.
Yeah.
And then one more bite's never enough.
You know,
you want to eat until you're satisfied.
It's funny because you have memories of certain things. When I was a kid, my parents on Sunday nights, a friend of theirs would make homemade glazed donuts warm.
Wow.
And it was just on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
And my parents would go to his house. Actually, they would go to his basement. He made it in his basement.
So he made glazed yeast donuts?
Glazed yeast donuts.
Oh, my gosh.
On Sunday nights.
Like Krispy Kremes.
Yeah. Yes, like that.
Oh, my
gosh. And they were warm. And like, I remember that taste.
Yeah.
I've never been able to match that
again. Even when the Krispy Kremes were hot,
possibly.
When you really could go to Krispy Kremes.
Whatever happened to Krispy Kremes? Do they exist anymore?
I don't know if they do or not anymore. They were so hot for a short time.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, they started getting mass production, so they were really special. Like when it was hot,
You
go, I'm getting there right now.
Yeah. Kind of like when they're electing a pope and the smoke comes out white instead of black.
You're like, new pope.
Hot Krispy Kremes.
Hot Krispy Kreme donuts. Doug, for one of his kids' birthday, ordered a Krispy Kreme cake. And what they did was they'd take a cake pan, like a tall cake pan, and they would just smush glazed donuts in it. Just smush them down.
Oh, my God.
And then they'd ice it with that white icing from the inside of a donut.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh my God. We're like, what? Who decided this was legal? This cannot possibly be legal.
Oh, no.
Because the one about Krispy Kreme donuts, they're full of air typically. So when you put one in your mouth, you're just like, oh,
yeah.
What goodness is this?
Yeah.
How can this possibly be?
How could this be calorie laden?
And in so many ways, I was grateful that they no longer were in existence because they started making it just so much you never got a hot one.
Or every once in a while, like a gas station would have like a little one of those hot things.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme side.
Okay. Now they're relegated to gas stations.
Yeah.
Just like sushi.
Exactly.
I did you a favor though this week. I was going through the mail and a Figgy's calendar, a catalog came through. And on the front was like these big, luscious.
Yeah.
Cakes and everything, and I just threw it in the
Thank
trash.
You. Well, you know, I remember.
Because I know that you even like to go through those, just looking at them.
I do.
I stopped over you from that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's just a waste of time for me now.
No, it's just a waste
of time. But we used to love to go during this time. Go up to about an hour and a half Monroe, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Monroe, the Wisconsin, Swiss home colony, of Swiss Colony.
And Swiss Colony Outlet Store.
Yes.
And depending on...
Once a year.
Well, depending on what was going on in their factory,
yeah,
they would come out with just tons and tons of different stuff that might be just a little bit off.
Yeah.
Meaning... Like the raccoon face didn't turn out right, or Santa Claus was missing his beard. Who knows what?
One year though,
yes,
in the catalog there was this cake.
Oh, for heaven's sakes!
And it was in the catalog $65,
which I didn't understand. Anyway.
I had the catalog with me.
Yeah, we had the catalog with us.
Yeah, and they had about 10 of them.
Yes,
and they were $5.
And you go buy them
all.
How many? Go buy 10 of them. I'm like, okay. And I did. And we're like, what are we going to do with these cakes? And luckily it was cold. We put them in the freezer.
We put them in the freezer. We put them outside. And
everybody got Swiss Colony cakes that year for Christmas.
$65 in the catalog.
And we're just not even going to go anymore. We're not even going to make a trip. There's no point. Because I must have had cake every day for 3 months.
Instead, though, what I've done is I have contacted Smile Train.
Yes.
Where, they do the surgery for these children that have, that are born with cleft palates.
Yeah.
And they go in there on boats, basically, ships.
Yeah.
And they do the surgery because in these certain countries, these kids with cleft palates are considered almost like evil, satanic.
Right.
Even the parents don't want them. Yeah. And so they can go in and just in a few, hours of surgery, change these kids' lives. And it's called, the charity is called Smile Train.
Right.
And so this year I have donated an equal amount of money as I would have done on Christmas presents.
Yep.
And people are going to be getting
their Smile Train cards.
Their Smile Train cards that said a donation has been made. And I don't know how I really feel about that because I have people that do that to me.
Yeah.
And I kind of went, damn, I actually took time and picked out a present for you. But now I understand.
Well, I'm curious because it's a time when just food is, I give you food for Christmas, you give me food for Christmas. And the biggest reason why you don't want, as you get older, you're just like, I don't want any more things. I don't want more stuff.
Yeah.
But at least food can get consumed and then it's done with.
My 87-year-old aunt, Roseanne, she's like, don't get me anything. Don't give me anything. Don't get any food.
No.
Don't give me any food. I don't even. And I go, can I give you these little chocolate sticks that you stick in your coffee and swirl it around and make? No, I don't want anything.
I don't want anything like that.
Don't give me anything.
Please don't.
But you know what the hot item for Christmas this year is?
Mm.
And, there's always something like that Pet Rocks or something that makes it the hot one.
Oh, sure. That's usually a hot one. Yeah. Pet Rocks. And then, hello, welcome to 1969.
But this year is this pink scarf it's unisex, but it's $100.
Uh-huh.
And, you wrap it around your neck and it's called the vagina scarf. Mm-hmm. And you look like you're being birthed. Your head's coming out of the vagina, and they can't make enough of these.
No, they can't. They can make enough of them. They can't make enough. Okay, really?
At $100 a pop?
Yeah.
Don't you wish you had done that, man? And it's all like,
what? It's called the birthing scarf.
It's called the vagina. Oh, is it called the birthing scarf?
No, I'm just asking you.
No, I think it's called the vagina scarf.
I think they should call it the birthing scarf.
Okay, the birthing scarf.
I don't want to buy something that's called a vagina scarf.
Oh, excuse me, the lady who has two pink pussy hats in her drawers.
Well, that's because you bought them. No, I get that. I saw a little girl wearing a pussy hat the other day. It just looks like a little kitty cat hat.
Yeah.
I don't know why we had, I'm looking for that word. I cannot, it begins with a C.
Puffalope?
Then no. But yeah, I don't know what this scarf looks like.
Yeah.
But is it fur lined? I mean.
you can get it for a line. Are you? You can also get it deferred.
And so I love this idea, though. Someone had to go.
I think it's unisex.
If I, okay. Why? Everything's unisex now.
Yeah.
Everything is.
Yeah. It's fluid. It's a.
So then are scarves different colors?
No, it's only pink.
But I'm thinking, yeah, that's wrong.
Why?
Because not all.
Vajayjays are pink?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Well, I mean, different shades. I don't think everything's pink.
50 shades of pink.
Yes.
That's my next book.
Is it your next book?
I'm going to write that book.
But I love the idea, though, of having a birthing scarf. I think it's hysterical.
I do, too.
Because
$100. I mean, honestly, you can just.
And maybe half the proceeds go to Planned Parenthood?
Doubt it, but.
So then I'm going to give you this challenge.
Yeah.
By next June.
I have to come up with the next vagina scarf.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Julie. I'm going to love doing that.
I know you will.
I'm going to love it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. I've got this really weird visual, though. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
The birthing scarf just seems brilliant. Just put it on your head.
Yeah. And you walk around.
You're walking around. You're like, people at first glance going, oh, she just has a nice scarf that's kind of fur. No,
and then they realize she's crowning.
She's crowning. She's crowning. Oh, no, she's crowning. And then you go, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, didn't Dad tell us a funny joke this week that we laughed at? Wasn't it funny? It was a funny one.
I'm sure he did.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
It was a magician. He told guy, he said, I'm a magician. I'm going to do this famous act.
Yeah.
And he gives this guy a sledgehammer. And he says, now, here's my act. And then I want you to hit me as hard as you can over the head.
Yes.
And so the guy goes,
well, first
really?
Of all, he's doing his show.
His magic act.
And he's on stage. And he comes out. He wants a participant from the audience.
Yeah.
He needs some help.
Yeah.
So he picks a guy from the audience. He's like, will you help me with this? Be my assistant. He goes, yes. Here is my sledgehammer. I need you to hit me as hard as you can with this sledgehammer on my head.
You sure?
Because, yep, it's part of the magic act.
Yeah.
He goes, all right. Guy gets a good job at it and knocks him over the head. And?
Splat.
Splat. 6 months later?
6 months later, he wakes up from his coma in the hospital and he goes, ta-da.
Ta-da. I was going to say abracadabra, but that doesn't sound right. Abracadabra. Ta-da.
Norm also told me this one. He goes, finally, they've uncovered the answer to why did the chicken cross the road.
Oh, why?
And because they wanted to show the possums that it can be done.
It's sad and funny.
I know.
Because it's so true.
I know.
These little possums.
I know
why the turkey buzzards are just proliferating. They're just everywhere. They're thriving.
Because of possums.
Yep. I heard it's good tasting.
Really?
Tastes like chicken.
Well, I heard that my favorite song is The Possum Kingdom. Is that right?
By the Toadies.
Is that right?
Yes.
And that's
not the Possum Kingdom, just Possum Kingdom.
It's Possum Kingdom.
By the Toadies.
And then if you actually went there
to
Possum Kingdom, Texas.
Yes, it's a lake in Texas.
It's a fabulous millionaire's lake.
Yeah, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
And the song, I think, is about vampires.
Behind the boathouse.
Yes.
I'll show you my dark secret that boom. I'm a vampire. But you must wear the vagina scarf first. Oh, no. She's crowning.
That my money's only from daddy. So, and so, okay. Well, hey, we only got about a minute and a half left of the show.
No way.
I know.
Was this our Halloween show?
It was.
The Haunting of Hill House, people. Netflix, 12 episodes.
10 or 12 episodes.
And a slow start. I'll be, and I'm an aficionado of horror, so I'm going to tell you, see it.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it A++++, but I'd give it an A+.
I'd give it an A.
The writing is very good. The mood is intense.
And everybody looks recognizable. Like, I know all these character actors, but I can't place them anywhere, which I find very interesting.
And that's kind of good, though, isn't it?
I
so
love
that
it.
You don't have to really feel like they're an actual...
Right.
They're actually real people.
Yeah.
And then the one that I saw last night, because I'm thinking on episode 7, but the one that I saw was so... I actually, like, afterwards had to go to the bathroom because it was, like, so scary.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just get a poop out of you or
the pee?
Or did you...
Can I leave that for next week? That'll be the cliffhanger.
That's
no,
the cliffhanger.
It was the poop out of me.
There you go.
It scared the poop out of me. Haunting of Hill House.
So how's the show, girlfriend?
It was great.
It was great. Happy Halloween, everyone. It was great.